Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to Miss Worth It Speaks. And our co-host is live with us today, CC, Chelsea Carr. Thank you all for joining us. Our topic today is It's a Father's Day Affair. And we're going to let CC kick it off, just giving you a glimpse of what It's a Father's Day Affair looks like. Hi, CC. How you doing today?
Greetings, Ms. Worth It. I'm doing great. Hope you are, too.
Yes, yes. It's a great day.
Indeed it is.
So
I'm excited about our time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Indeed it is. I'm excited about our topic today. It's a father's affair. We have some exquisite fathers in our midst, and I know personally my father, a dynamic man, and it's just exciting to be able to talk about the positive things that fathers and father figures do in our lives.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so you heard it, you know, it's a Father's Day affair, and we are excited to talk about dynamic fathers out there in society today. And we also are going to have our guest today, Aisha Hassan. She'll be joining us. And so we just want to kick it off and kind of first say happy Father's Day to all the fathers everywhere.
Yes, and so happy Father's Day.
I know. You know, we look at social media and we'll see, you know, happy Father's Day to my mom because she was a father in my life. But I just want to say to all of our listeners, you know, I'm a mother who was a single mother from time to time. Yes, when I wasn't married, I was a single mom. So, but, however, I was not a father. I could not teach my children the things that fathers can. So I want to say to all the fathers, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
And so
I was reading
we're going. Go ahead, Cece.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just saying, the White House, our president, our current president, does a lot of initiatives to actually interact with the general public. And he had written a letter, and it was a very heartfelt letter, and just giving his homage to all of the fathers. He was talking about his brotherhood initiative that he started, but he was just encouraging and saluting all the men and father figures that are active in children's lives. And he was talking about, you know, that even when they're not, like he didn't have his father present, but he had so many other men that helped support him in all of his endeavors. And I just thought it was good to hear from our president, who's such an exquisite leader and man.
Right, right. That's amazing. That is awesome. And yes, you know, when we think about fathers, we oftentimes, you know, we take a kickback on whether the father is present, whether the father is paying child support, whether the father is doing what he's supposed to do, being active in the child's life, and then we want to take that away from them. However, I want us to focus today on despite the odds against fathers, despite the lack of participation in their children's lives, despite whatever is going on that have caused them not to stand up and be who they were created to be, and to the birth child, the natural child or children in their lives, I want us to take a step back and do something a little bit different today. I want us to focus on how we can help and how we can keep our fathers lifted and grounded. And so I'm excited about this conversation that we're going, this dialogue we're going to have today regarding our fathers. And before we bring on our guests, I just want to say happy Father's Day to my son, Ernest Deus Joaquin Barnett, who is no longer with us on this side of heaven, but is a bright and shining sun, beam of sun, upon us, and I want to say happy Father's Day to him and thank God for allowing me to have such an awesome young man to call my son. And I want to
okay.
wish my father a happy Father's Day as well. You know, Cece, we have planned to go to Gulfport and go deep sea fishing, take my father deep sea fishing. But the good old man, girl, he had a test for the fire department, child. He worked for the fire department. So he kicked me and old King aside for the fire department test. So we gonna have to take a rain check, but it's all good. We're going to take a rain check. We're going to get down there and take him deep sea fishing, you know. So I'm excited about that. So all of our listeners, if you will, join me on Facebook, Instagram, and at as well as our organization that Cece and I are a part of, Justice from A to Z. Check out our dedication page to your one and only Ernest Zayas Barnett on this Father's Day. And put up some information about your father on our Facebook. Send a shout out to your father as well. All right, Cece. Yeah. Well, we're going to get started and we're going to bring on our guest, Miss Aisha Hassan. Miss Hassan is she is a part of Justice from A to Zayas as a consultant. We've been knowing her for several months now, and she is a fabulous young woman who has relocated to the Atlanta area from D.C. She's a friend of a friend, and we got to meet her and interact with her, and she is just a major support of not only Justice from A to Z, but major nonprofit organizations out here in Atlanta as well as D.C. So we want to welcome Ms. Aisha Hassan. Are you there, Ms. Aisha?
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. That was a very wonderful introduction.
Of course, it was well deserved.
And happy Father's Day to everyone out there.
Yes.
And so, Aisha, we have Cece, our co-host, on the line as well, and she is going to join in this dialogue today.
Let's do it, ladies.
Yeah.
All right. So our topic today is It's a Father's Day Affair, and we're going to focus on, despite the odds against fathers, how can we keep them lifted and grounded? And so I want to start with a couple of points that I really got from our service at my church today, Elizabeth Baptist here in Atlanta on Cascade. A perspective of the power of a godly father. And guys, they showed clips of The Lion King. So it was really amazing because, you know, as he was saying, I bet you won't go to church and they be showing The Lion King at church, something to that effect. But, you know, when he started with saying about The Lion King, I was thinking, you know, yeah, because, you know, you got Simba and Mufasa, and Mufasa was a great father figure to Simba, you know?
Yes, one of my favorite movies.
Yes, and I had the opportunity to see the, was it the musical or whatever they call it up in...
the production, yes, it's awesome.
Yes, it was amazing, and I was just telling my nephew today that I want to make sure him and my grandkids get an opportunity to see it because the people were, you know, even though they had them masked, you know, as the animals, but their body language, they were moving.
Yeah, they used their bodies to become the animals.
Yeah.
It's hard to differentiate the human from the animal in some cases.
What was that?
It's hard to differentiate the human from the animal in some cases. They do such an amazing job.
Exactly. It was amazing. So I was really excited to see the clip and tell my nephew and them about it. But however, so I'm going to start with a couple of points that he brought up, and then we're going to go into just our real conversation about it. And one of the things he said that I thought was very interesting is a father must prepare his son or daughter for the jungle of this world. And really, we are living at a time where we can say we live in a jungle because it is just so it's just so cruel out here in society now. And so one of the things he was stating was that a godly father models the divine in four characteristics. And so those four characteristics of a godly father is a provider, a protector, a professor, and a priest. And so we, you know, when you think about those things, that is definitely true. A father is supposed to be the provider. And for those who are spiritual, those who are Christians, or those who believe in a higher being, this is our view, you know, that we learn that a provider is the man of the home, as well as he's the protector. He is a professor because he has to teach his children, you know, the things about life and how to be successful in this life, as well as he's a priest because he has to instill values of what his belief is in his children. And so I thought that was really, really good, really good information that was given today. Also, a couple of other points was a godly father maintains discipline. A godly father makes disciples, and a godly father maps a child's destiny. And with that, the bottom line was a father invests in their children's destiny. And so with those, I want to just piggyback on a little bit of that, but going forward, just to talk about a father in general, regardless whether he have accepted, whether he has a spiritual belief or he doesn't. A man that becomes a father, he has a responsibility to that life. He has a responsibility to be a part of that child's life, a responsibility to make sure that that child has all that he or she needs, and a responsibility to teach that child and to protect that child. So when we talk about fathers and how we can keep them lifted and grounded, I want to say that even when they fall off track, when they're not doing the things that they should do or what is expected from them, do you think we should just give up on them, ladies, when the father is just not in the place where he needs to be?
No. No, by all means.
No, we can't.
No. Yeah, and it's our responsibility, even when we look at, you know, from the biblical standpoint, which for me as a Christian is where I base all of my decisions and focal points. We have to be, you know, our brother's keeper. We don't give up on them. We bring some things that need to be brought to their attention and most definitely pray for them, you know, give them words of encouragement, help them to see the errors of their ways, but in a way that's not degrading.
Right. And you know what, even for those, you know, because there was a time where we all hadn't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, or there was a time we didn't believe in Allah, or there was a time we didn't believe in whatever we believe in. However, there is still a way, even in society, that we stand with one another, and we need to make sure that even when, you know, shoot, when our parents do make a bad judgment call for us, discipline, and they say we did something when we were a kid and we really didn't do it, but they thought we did, we still have a relationship with our parents. So pretty much that means we forgive them. You know what I'm saying? So even without being a biblical, spiritual person, we still need to take the time to know that we must give an opportunity. Wouldn't you say, Aisha? I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
I agree with Cece. I believe that the encouragement side of things is one of the keys, because a lot of times, especially in this time and in our African-American culture, we hear a lot of opposition, we hear a lot of criticism, and our way of love is typically a tough love type of mentality and approach. So I think that a lot of times our fathers don't feel the same amount of room to nurture. That idea of being a provider is in one sense of just financially providing for their family. But as you were mentioning, they need to be disciplined and provide that discipline in order to be a protector. And in order to provide for their family, they need to feel that encouragement. They need to feel the support and love, not only from their partners, but from society and their children as well. There's just a lot of expectations and a great weight that's placed on them on the shoulders of our fathers, and sometimes it's up to us as being members of the family to take a little bit off of their shoulders and to take a little bit of that on our own. So
exactly.
I think that part of that encouragement is a big thing, that they don't feel
right.
the support and the love that they should.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what we have to focus on. You know, and I do see, and I know it's painful for some mothers who don't have the support of their husbands or, you know, the child's father anymore, for whatever the reason is. And it caused a lot of turmoil. It caused a lot of anger and frustration. And so with that, you know, I want us to, you know, be a mouthpiece for these ladies and for these ladies and for these men, and be an encourager to the ladies that, yeah, you run into situations, and for instance, that father may not be picking the kids up on time, or he canceled for picking them up on the weekend. And so that causes you to make some changes and causes your schedule to change. However, I think instead of us beating them up, that and I'm not saying that I haven't been there, ladies, so don't get it twisted. I have definitely been there, and I have definitely went off on the deep end on a daddy, okay, on the father. I've had to put him in place. However, I am a woman who does forgive, and so I will give them another chance and another chance and another chance. However, I have learned as I have grown, and I am a woman of faith as well. But even before not being one, I had a heart. And so that heart allowed me to want better from somebody. And so as I am a woman of God and a woman of faith, I believe that if we put our focus not on exactly what he's doing wrong, but if we put our focus on praying for him to become a better person, a better man, then he has no other choice but to be a great father. Let us take a call real quick, ladies.
Okay.
Hello, Carla. Can you tell us your name?
Hey, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean. How are you today?
Happy Father's Day.
I appreciate it. I'm really, honestly, I'm just listening today. I'm soaking all this in today.
Yeah, we know that because it sounds like you have an issue, Sean, but I can tell by the way you called in. What's your point on this about the topic on despite the odds against fathers, how can we keep them lifted and grounded? What's your perspective?
I mean, it's definitely a touchy subject, but I think it's a unified effort. It ain't just one group of people or another. You know what I mean? It's all the way from parents all the way down to friends and spouses and ex-spouses and all that good stuff. It's just putting things into perspective and putting the focus where it's supposed to be, and that is, you know, disallow all the negativity and all the extra stuff that comes along with being a parent or being a father. Like, just put the focus where it's supposed to be. Period.
Right. And that's true, Sean. That is very true. If we focus on the right things, and this is, unfortunately, ladies, I'm kind of picking on you today because, see, last year on Father's Day, I almost wanted to shut my Facebook page down. However, I didn't, because Facebook is not my problem. My problem was your words about the fathers. He ain't crap. He ain't no daddy. He ain't no father. I've been the father from day one. You not the father. You can even, if you want to do a Bruce Jenner and change your sex, you still wasn't created a man, which means you're still not a father. So,
okay.
Ladies, I just want you to know, since last year, you worked on my nerves, and I made some comments on there last year for you, too. And, of course, you didn't comment back because, you know, I came from a spiritual perspective with the word. But this year, I figured we'll just do the topic of discussion. And, Sean, I totally understand what you're saying. Because regardless, and don't get me wrong, I know there's some low-down, dirty, doggish daddies, fathers out there. This I do know. However,
grandmothers
getting on social media, beating them up, tearing them down is not helping the situation. And so for all of the mothers who believe in a higher being, you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're whatever your spiritual belief is, you know you don't have no business blasting your children's father like that.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when we know to do better, we have to act better and speak better. And so what I want to encourage you is, just like someone had to encourage me, you have to take the side where you be the bigger person and you deal with what's wrong in a logical sense, but pray for him and encourage him the purpose that he has for being a father. So, Sean, for instance, if, you know, you have children, and if you're not, I'm not saying you are or you're not, I don't even know if this is your situation, so don't take it as if I am. But for instance, if you're not on time with picking the kids up sometimes, and you know you could do better, you need to work on your scheduling, and you know you need to get your calendar together better, and you know you have been late picking the kids up, or you've had to cancel once or twice, what would be a good way for the mother of your child or children to respond to you? What would you say would be a good way, instead of when you get there telling you you ain't but a piece of crap? And wait, mother of Sean's children, if you know the Sean this is, I'm not saying this is what you say. This is hypothetically, this is make-believe. So,
thank you for that clarification.
I'm targeting you. It's just that this is the brother that called my line, and so I'm using him as an example. Now, so Sean, how would you want that to be handled?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's about communication, period, right? So we're both grown, so there's no need for you to try and come at me as if I am your child. So if you have a disagreement or dissatisfied with something that I may be doing or anything like that, you could bring the conversation to me without it being blasphemy. You know what I mean? And we can talk about it and try and come to some resolve. But if you come with a problem, be prepared to present a solution. You know what I mean? So if you're disgruntled or you're upset with how I'm going about things or my lack of communication or my lack of organization or timeliness, then present an alternative or a different way of making sure that things happen if you're going to present this issue to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my thing is, it boils down to communication. We are both grown. We are adults. And so, you know, even if we were to still be together as parents, things happen. Things come up. You're still going to have to communicate. You know what I mean? So it's not just because now that we're not together or whatever. Yeah.
Sean, pause on that one for me. So, Cece, you're a mother, okay?
Yes.
So, if this is the situation, it's you and Sean, and he's late now. Now, how do you feel he should prepare himself, or what actions do you think he should take when he's been late several times on the weekend that he pick up the kids, he's late, and you late for work now? Or you late for a meeting, or, you know, you just late for your date. Whatever it is, it's now a trigger effect because now you late.
Right. Well, you know, Sean hit it on the head. It's communication, but it's a two-way street. And really it stems from respect. You know, respect the person's time and, you know, the fact that you have an agreement. And if you're not going to be able to keep your word on it, just communicate. And for me personally, I know when you know the person, like you know what things are triggers for them, you know, that will help you to know how to better support them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that punctuality is big on Chelsea's list. So if I'm supposed to be here on time, you know, then let's talk about it. Let's text. There's too many ways for you to communicate for you not to communicate. You couldn't call, text, send an email, something, all comes to my phone.
Right. Okay, well, that may be the case, and I hear both of you saying, I hear both of you talking about communication. Now, I use that scenario because it is a fact. There have been cases where the father is late picking up the child or children, and, you know, for him it's like, well, I'm, you know, I had, something came up, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so my point, the reason why I use that is because it's a two, you're right, it is a two-way street and it is communication. And I don't think all the time that the mother is not communicating. I think the father sometimes wants the mother to accept the fact that he had things that came up and just be okay with that. So in that instance, I brought that up because that's been a situation that I've heard about. And I want to say that when you're dealing with separate households, parent here and a parent there, that just that situation, that's just one scenario, that regardless of what comes up, priority is important. And you, we have to get our priorities in order. Because a lot of times, and yes, now I'm going to get off the ladies and I'm going to get on the men, men do not make it a priority when it comes to their children and picking them up or paying their child support. Sometimes men, not all men, but sometimes brothers, men, you guys take it as if it shouldn't be a big deal. Okay, so I was late, but I told you something came up. Okay, I didn't get a chance to send the child support Friday. I said I'm going to send it next week. Well, I have a problem with that just with anybody. It ain't even got to be about a man with his child support or him being on time. I have a problem when someone tell me they going to do something and they don't do it on time. I have a problem when someone says, let's be here at a certain time, and they don't show up because they late. So I can understand that. So, however, one of the keys that I want, and the reason why I use that scenario is because we have to put things in by prioritizing. We need to understand that, you know, that may not be what you think is most important. You may think it's okay. But guess what? If it was the bill collector and you had to pay a bill, they don't want to hear all of those excuses. They want their money. So, unfortunately, you have to pay child support. So, you should pay it on time. Unfortunately, you have to now have a time to pick up your children. Pick them up on time, because the truth of the matter is, I just said, you know, yeah, Cece, you have a date, you're going to be late for work. But the problem is, it is not even about the mother. It's about the children. Aisha, would you say that it's the child who is really affected when mother or father, whoever, because there are some mothers who are picking up their kids too, and father has custody. But however, we're talking about fathers today. So wouldn't you say it affects the child when they're waiting on dad and he's late or no-show?
Absolutely. I think it affects the child, I mean, in a number of ways. But I think that more often than not, it's that that hard shell and exterior that children start to develop and kind of bitterness that they develop towards, you know, a parent. And in some ways, it starts to happen on behalf of, you know, with both parents, with feelings of resentment for the father and for the mother in some ways, because there's a lot of accountability and things that children see. You know, they hear their mothers putting down their fathers, and then they see their fathers actually acting out the same things that their mothers were putting them down for. So there's that sort of, like, juxtaposition of emotions, and there's a conflict that's going on in the child because you have this feeling of loyalty to both parents. And you don't want to see either one of them disappoint you or angry or sad. You just want the best as a child from a very young age. You just want the best for your parents. So when you see your father not living up to his full potential, when you see your father not showing you to be a priority, when you see your father you know, use excuses that really seem quite mundane and really shouldn't trump you, when you hear them use those things so freely or say that, you know, so-and-so held me up, but this, that, and the other, it makes you feel like you're the lowest on the totem pole. And we don't want the children to feel like they're lost in the shuffle, that they're not really cared for. And also, we don't want the children to feel like they're a burden to either parent. And I think that that's the danger, is feeling like, you know, they're somehow responsible for the lack of happiness in their parents, either one, or, you know, loss of finances or loss of time, or, you know, just hearing you're getting on my nerves, just those type of things that are constantly put into a child's psyche can really chip away at them over time. And what we get is parents, you know, adults that that were wounded as children and are trying to make up for those, you know, fill those wounds and those gaps and those holes in their hearts that developed over time with individuals and life. And they're going to constantly be disappointed, not only by the random person they meet on a random Saturday at the club, but it's compounded by the fact that they're still getting disappointed by their father. So, you know, I can only imagine. I'm lucky enough to have a father that's there for me,
Aisha, hold that thought for me real quick. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish off this part, this segment, in regards to a real small, that appears to some people to be a real small issue between parenting. But I want to just say thank you, Aisha, because you hit the point that I really wanted to be hit when it regards to the children. Children are the ones who are hurt, and they began to see and pick up many things. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to continue. It's a Father's Day affair. And because it is Father's Day, I want you to listen to a clip from my young son, Gary Arnett Green, who for the first time had an opportunity to speak out about some of the injustices that have been going on, and really target what happened to his brother, who is a father, and just kind of speak out. So let's take a break and let's listen to this clip here. Thank you.
This is not about bad policing. They're doing just what they were trained to do.
Yes.
So if you go about this trying to indict individual cops for being bad guys,
you're making a
mistake. The only way we're going to win this war is we have to charge the U.S. government with genocide against black people.
He was murdered he was shot downtown Atlanta, 5/30/2013. It was my 23rd birthday. That's actually the day I was born. And pretty much the story, well, I'll give you a little history. Zayas went to college. He graduated from North Carolina Central University. We grew up part of our life in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as well as Orleans, Louisiana. He went on to serve in the military. He fought in the war in Iraq. He was in Kuwait for about a year and a half. This is between going to college. He actually left with the reserve. So he came back May 30th. We go out. It's my birthday. Go to a few different clubs. He's not intoxicated. I'm very intoxicated. It's my birthday. They give me shots and stuff like that. So we go to the last club. We come out of club opera. We get into a little altercation with some guys. Now, it was a minor altercation. Probably about four of us. About 15 of those dudes. Anyway, we head to the parking lot to go to our car. Squabble breaks out. The fight dispersed. The dudes, the whole time we were fighting, they were saying they were getting guns. Mind you, these are guys I've never seen a day in my life before. So they run off to go get their guns. My brother, he follows the Second Amendment. Mind you, I told you he was a military police. He graduated from college, so he gets his registered weapon out the car. He's headed to retrieve my car, which is at the furthest end of the parking lot. Around that time, two off-duty police officers run down. They were dressed in all black, guns already drawn, and they're just screaming, "Drop the effing gun, drop the effing gun." His back was towards them, so I can just imagine if I'm walking and I haven't disarmed my weapon in any way, it's still in the holster, and somebody's behind me. I just got jumped by 15 people. Somebody's behind me screaming, "Drop the effing gun." Not APD, not freeze, you know, the regular terminology you're supposed to use. You hear none of that. Mind you, I'm there the whole time, so I'm screaming, trying to get him to turn around. So when he turns around, they're ordering him to drop the gun. He takes a couple steps, and he's bending down to drop the gun, and they shoot him 12, 13 times in front of everybody out there. Mind you, so
Welcome back to Miss Worth It Speaks. And we are here live with our co-host, Cece. And we are talking today about It's a Father's Day Affair. We have our guest on, Aisha Hassan. We have on a caller, Sean Williams. And we have another caller waiting to speak to us. So we want to thank you for joining Miss Worth It Speaks on this Father's Day. And to all the fathers, we say Happy Father's Day
to you. Happy Father's Day.
You just heard a clip of Gary Green speaking about his brother, Ernest Dayes Barnett, who is a father, who was a father on this side of heaven, and now a father, still a father, because his son still is here, and he is not. And I brought that clip on because we spend so much time as parents arguing, fussing over small things like who's picking who up, why you're not here, why you didn't send the child support. We spend so much time when there's such bigger problems out here where police and violence is taking place and taking the fathers from us, from these children. And so now you have a 9-year-old boy has to grow up without a father. Listen and listen clearly. We need the fathers. We need them to be involved in their children's lives. Fathers, we need you to put everything you have into your child. This is your legacy. We need you to take care of your child financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually. You need to take care of your child. Mothers, we need you to support fathers. Stop pulling all kind of foolish tricks because he's not with you anymore. Stop giving him a hard time. Stop trying to make his pockets empty because you're angry. Be parents. I'm spiritual. I'm a woman of faith. God created them for a special purpose. Allow them to live out that purpose by you supporting them. Fathers, you were created for a special purpose. Stop downplaying it. Stop acting like it's not important. Stop acting like your children shouldn't get some financial support. We have to do better because we're losing too many fathers to violence. So we need to do better. We have a guest. Caller, can you state your name, please? Caller, are you there? All right, I guess the caller did not hear me, so we'll give him a few minutes. Before we jump right back in, I want to read a poem, and I think this one is by Mark Twain. Fatherhood changes you completely. If things didn't go my way before, I became withdrawn and didn't want to see or listen to anyone. Now when I arrive home, I see my son and everything is okay. He's the most important thing to me now. Wow.
Wow.
If every father felt that way, then we shouldn't have any problems with child support or any of that. And I know many of you men feel like, well, you paying more than you should. But is there a price on taking care of your child? I mean, really? And you know what? Here's the thing. We have to take a look back and remember, you know, why should we be in court fighting over some money to take care of our child? We shouldn't. Mm-hmm. We really shouldn't. And before we get into that segment of it, of child support, Aisha, I want you to go ahead and finish up. You were going to make a comment regarding your father. And then, caller, if you're there, I do want to know who you are So once she finished, I'm going to holler back at you. I hope you're still there. Aisha, make that comment about your father.
Well, I was just going to comment that my parents were never married, and I don't want to start a whole other discussion, but that's something that I wanted to bring up earlier, is the idea of accountability. My parents were never married, and my father is very much a romantic. He believes that there's this ideal woman that's out there for him. He didn't know his own father, but over the quest of searching for love, he didn't neglect his children. He wasn't always fully equipped to be what we needed because of his perception of what a father should be. So when he's always thinking that I have to be a provider, I have to have finances, but he doesn't have those finances, you know, there were times when he would step away. And it was my job as a child to remind him that, Dad, what I need you to provide is your presence. What I need you to provide is your love. What I need you to provide is a hug or a smile, a joke, something of that nature, that it, something that money really can't buy. And he learned that lesson pretty, I would say, early on. In the case of most parents or father-daughter relationships, but I was about 13 or 14, and I had to be bold enough and strong enough to say that to him, that what I'm looking for is not a new pair of Nikes. It's to see my dad there and to see my dad happy. And so a lot of children are not equipped to say that. I don't think that my sister would have been equipped to say that. So we have to do our best to encourage and empower the children to be as honest about what they need, to be honest about what they need from their fathers, any chance that they get, but then also to show them that what they need from them is a lot more than monetary. You know, it's something that fulfills the heart and not the pockets.
Awesome.
Exactly. Okay. That was definitely great, Aisha, because, you know, you were one who spoke up. But there are many, many, many children out here who will not. They won't say that. And so mothers, or if you're listening, I hope that you take heed to that. And, you know, instead of making your comments, tell your child. You just tell your father what you feel. You know, you explain that to him, because I don't want him to think I'm, you know, causing a problem. And we shouldn't. We should not cause a problem. Yes, always be honest with your children. I would not tell any mother to lie, because I never lied to my children. And if you don't show up on time, I will pick up the phone and say, hey, you told these kids you were going to be here by this time, and they're sitting here waiting, so hold on. Because I'm not going to lie for you. I'm not going to make up all this foolishness for you. It's your responsibility to do what you have to do, just like it's the mother's responsibility to do what she needs to do. Carla, are you with us? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in anyway. If you dropped off, please give us a call back. Well, we're going to jump into the second part of this with our fathers. And Sean, I hope you're still there. And if you're listening, or if you're listening and you would like to call in, you can dial 516-595-8103. We would love to hear your point of view regarding It's a Father's Day Affair. And despite the odds against fathers, how can we keep them lifted and grounded? How can we help our fathers to get to the place where they need to be that father figure in their child's life that makes a young girl eyes sparkle when she see her daddy coming? Let's take it to the child support, because this has been one of the most controversial topics, oh my goodness, from the rich and famous down to those who can't afford to pay child support because they're unemployed. I remember my son Zayas had a segment where he talked about child support, and oh my goodness, it was off the chain. But it was so very true, and he stuck to the facts. And so if you want to check it out, please go to YouTube and check out Zay Savant on child support. So, you know, this child support thing is crazy. A lot of fathers, hate to say it to your fathers on your Father's Day, but it's real talk. Y'all will not work. You will work under the table so you won't pay child support. And then you have the fathers who are willing to pay child support, who really don't even want to go to the court system. They're willing to take care of their children, do everything they need to do, and then y'all women out here, you're straight tripping. What you got to say about that, Sean? I decided to cut that off because I was about to go somewhere. So, Sean, what you got to say about that child support thing?
Or maybe you know. That's a loaded question. But we can go on and on for that for days on that subject.
No, but, we won't go on and on. Just give us your view about how do you think child support should be handled? Let's start with that.
All right, yeah, okay. I think it is necessary when necessary. That's how I think it should be handled. I think it's a thing of if there's not someone being presently involved, and I'm saying someone because child support isn't just for the fathers, but if there's not someone being presently involved and that assistance is needed, then yes, I think it should be ordered. But I don't think if there's someone who is involved, I don't think just because someone wants to put this person on child support, it should be just simple as that. So how it comes to be in the first place, to me, at the forefront of it, I think I don't think it's handled right.
You don't think it's handled right?
No.
Okay. So let's use me. So I was married and we divorced and I never put my ex-husband on child support. He was, when we were together, a great father, but then something happened to his mind. He lost it, apparently, because and if you're listening, ex-husband number two, of course, I'm talking about you. And you're welcome to call in at 516-595-8103. However, at some point he felt that if he wasn't going to be with me, then that gave him a reason not to really take care of his kids, which was one of the stupidest things since you were a really good father when you were married. So, however, years passed, and, you know, I was working, you know, this job, and I didn't have insurance anymore. It was part-time, I think, or something like that. But, however, I had to get some insurance. Both of my kids are asthmatic, you know. So I applied for assistance to get insurance. I didn't need anything else but insurance. Well, they said I had to put him on child support. Now, he had every opportunity to be taking care of his kids. He saw them every now and then, and, yeah. But you were not, yeah, when you get them, you may buy a few things. But they still had to eat. They still had to have lights. They still had to have water. They still had to have medical. They still had to have things for school. They had to have everything. And he didn't contribute. So, you know, my thing was when I divorced him, like, I'm not going to be going to court. I'm not taking a day off from work to make these people make you a clown. Apparently now you're a clown because you're not taking care of your child. I'm not spending my time doing that. I'll show you better than I can tell you that I can handle and take care of mine with the grace of God. God will never let them go without. So that's what I was doing. However, I needed the insurance, had to file child support. This clown was mad because they ordered him to pay, and I want to be correct. It was less than $400 for two kids, y'all, and it was about, I wish one of my kids would call in. I think they were probably like 12, 13 when I started getting it. Really? $400? Really? Are you serious? However, you know, I didn't even make no fuss. I just really needed the insurance. So, Sean, do you think in that case that it was fair that they make him pay child support?
This was, yeah, and I think it was fair because the reason I say this, and I want to be clear, like I don't want nobody to think that I'm being biased, but that's what I was saying, if it's deemed necessary, you know what I mean?
I'm saying it's a question. Was it fair that he should have to pay child support?
Yeah, I think so, because you're not contributing. You see what I'm saying? Again, like I said, I think it's an effort. However, child support is being distributed, whether it's male to female, female to whatever. If they're not being supported, then yes, you know what I mean? I think it's very necessary. You know what I mean?
And I would say,
so in that case,
not just being supportive, Sean, but you barely supported, because my two children calculated the difference in everything that it cost for them at one point, and they called and told him. And it was definitely way more than $400 for two children, because you know it takes more than that. $400, that's part of lunch money. In any school activities, really, football, cheerleading. So I use that as an example, because even though I didn't want to do it, because I don't have time to be going to court to play with no boys, because at that point you're not a man, you're a boy. And I just didn't have time for that. You know what I'm saying? However, just as you stated, child support is necessary when a person does not do what they should be doing. Now, that's not the case with everyone. Cece, I know that your mother, and your case may be different. Would you like to just share, it doesn't have to be about your case, but your view on parents sharing the responsibility of their children without getting the court system involved?
Yeah. Well, I'll share my view, and I'll actually share it from my personal perspective. But my son's father and I have an agreement. We've never had any child support, you know, ordered by the court. It was just an understanding we came to collectively about what would be in the best interest of our child. And when you talked about the sum, you know, I mean, I hear women different prices. And even if you are someone active in the child's life, no, to me, finances doesn't need to be the primary focus, because the male support is good. However, you still have expenses with children, whether you're actively involved or not. You know what I mean? They still have, there's still a cost that's incurred. So I think, you know, for me, my perspective is that we need to be responsible as two adults who came together to make this child, to ensure that this child is supported to the best of our abilities. And that requires teamwork. Sometimes, you know, you may not have the funds to give out, but then, you know, if you do, don't withhold them when you know your child needs them.
Perfect. That was awesome. Yes, exactly, Cece, because here's the thing. Just because you know I can take care of the child does not give you a pass to not do your part.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot of times. You know, I know a woman, you know, who she's pretty well off. You know, she does very well. And because she does, the clown went to court and said, well, she makes triple what I make. I shouldn't have to give anything. Like, loser. Mm. Really? And, you know, at that point, that's what I would have called you, a loser. Like, it has nothing to do with my pocketbook. It has to do with we both created this child. Mm-hmm. And you should do your part in helping. You should want to. This poem stated, it stated that when I arrived home, I see my son and everything is okay. He's the most important thing to me now. If I'm the most important thing to you, if your child is that important, as a mother, I can't go to the store without thinking about something my child may need or something I just want to be good to them to give them.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a father, you should feel the same way. And we're not saying it's all about money, but what we're saying is it should be a mutual, you know, a mutual thing where you come together and say, okay, how much is tuition, if there is a tuition? Okay, well, let's split that. How much is aftercare? Okay, let's split that. How much, and if that person can't split everything, then, yeah, maybe the other person may take a bigger chunk of it. But still, have enough pride to say, oh, no, I'm going to give a portion. I may not be able to pay the whole thing, but I'm going to give a portion. It doesn't matter, you know, if you can't do all of it, but you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Your child wants to know that you care enough to support them. And for the fathers who are listening, look, we need you to be in your child's life. But don't think it's okay that you take your money and do your own thing and not support your child because the mother is able to take care of the children. We have another caller. Actually, I think we have a caller who dropped. Caller, are you back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we have Sean back. Sean, we're glad you got back on with us. And I'm sure you overheard what we were saying.
I'm in the country.
You in the country?
Yeah.
We know how that can be. Well, we know how that can be, and if you drop, you're always welcome to call back. Listeners, I would love to hear from you. Some of you ladies, please give us a call at 516-595-8103. And so we're talking about fathers being responsible and, you know, making sure you share in everything for your child, from their education to their medical, to their clothing expense, to their food expense, to their housing. Be a part of your child's life physically, financially, spiritually, and emotionally. Sometimes, and our guest Aisha, she did speak on, you know, when she was a young teen, she was able to tell her father, you know, she really needed him, you know, to be, you know, I love you, come to a game, you know, those type of things. However,
Absolutely. We
also need you to be a part of the other areas as well. And so I want to encourage our fathers out there who haven't been stepping up to the plate. I want to encourage you today to change that. Be a part of your child's life in every area that is needed. It's not about how you and the mother get along, which you should be able to be cordial. But if you can't, at least do what you have to do for your son or daughter. Take care of your children in every area. It doesn't matter whether that mother makes twice the amount you make. Do your part. And it doesn't matter, you know, you saying, well, you know, I got to have my living expense. You do. But just like mothers sacrifice and budget when they don't have, especially once you've been married and you lose that second income, and now it's on you, and you're not even getting child support? Come on now. We have to budget. We have to minimize. And so if that's your child, you should do the same thing. And we want you to be a part of your life. And for the mothers who don't want your children's father to be a part of their life, stop it, because you're tripping. You're crazy. I know you can get another man there, but that's not that child's biological father. You know, and if the father is not around, yes, you can get father figures to be a part of their life, whether it's coaches or, you know, spiritual counselors or whoever, and that's wonderful. But if there's any way possible that the fathers can be a part of their children's lives, let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
From a spiritual perspective, God created man and woman to come together and bring life. A mother and a father. If they were both not necessary, he would not have created it that way. Now, that's my belief. You may believe something else, but that is my belief. And for those who are Christians or believers, you believe the same thing I believe if you read the same word I read. And so you should. Today, take a step back and say, you know what, let me reevaluate this. Why would I want to put my child's father down? One, I laid with this man. Now, maybe he's on some trip right now, but you know what? I'm going to pray for him because my child is still a part of that person. And we need, you know what? Children need to know their parents because when they're going through some things and they don't know why, you know, what's the gospel singer name, CeCe?
Kirk Franklin.
No, not him. The young guy, and he just got married. There was, oh my God, he was on Preacher's of Bel-Air. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He sings.
Dietrich Hatt? No, he had been married for a while. No, it's not him.
Dietrich Hatton did the research and got to know. He missed getting to really know his father because he died, but went back home. And amongst his father's brother siblings, and learned so much about his father that he realized some of the things he had been doing and experienced was what he had got from his father. Mm-hmm. And had he been a part of his life, he said he probably would have been able to make some better choices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys, we owe this to our children. We owe this to our children to be civilized. And even if the other one doesn't want to be civilized, that doesn't mean you have to act a fool. Because look at you, if you're a Christian, I don't care who you are. If you're a Christian, the word of prayer works. I know it does. And I know a young lady who used to talk to me in my group, come on, and she was having the blues with her baby daddy. And honey, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and baby, now... Ooh, I wish she could call in and tell her testimony. Prayer work. Because
yeah,
now
yeah.
She is proud to say, that's my child's father. So
yeah.
It can happen. It can happen. And just because the other one won't do it don't mean you can't do it. And father, stop not being a part of your child's life. Because when you go over there, she acting a fool. So now you just not going to be, you're not going at all. Now that's big. I don't know about you, CC, or Aisha, or Sean, if you guys heard this, but I've heard this a lot. Man, I just don't go because it's always drama with her. So are you serious? You're going to let someone take away your legacy, the relationship of your legacy? Not. There is a way to work that out.
And for me,
wouldn't
you know,
I
think so. And the real unfortunate thing, I mean, at the end of the day, even when you talked about the word lose and loser, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a child. It's a child that suffers. I mean, the adults made the choice to be with one another, to however the situation be, unless it's an unfortunate circumstance. But the child didn't ask to be here. And it's the child that loses in the end. I mean, because adults, or people who are supposed to be adults, can't come and reason together. This child, I mean, that's the thing that really saddens me, is that the child is being, you know, neglected, for lack of a better term, because of adults not being adults.
Exactly.
I agree.
Exactly.
I think the problem is the accountability on both sides. We need to be more accountable for who we lay down with and we have children with. And I think that there ends up being a disconnect a lot of times on behalf of the fathers because they never felt spiritually connected with the woman in the first place. And so a lot of times it's so easy for them to just dismiss the child because they don't have a connection with their mother. And it's sad to see, and you see it happen in some cases when, you know, a marriage ends and a man meets a new woman and he starts to develop a relationship with another woman and deeply fall in love, then he neglects his children with the previous woman. So we need to help these men, these so-called losers, you know, open up their hearts. But at the same time, we need to do more on the front end to be more connected with the partners that we choose and the people that we create children with.
Good point.
And Aisha, a part of that is true, but I won't say 100% because that man I connected to was a great man. Like I said, what happened with him, he lost it, and he did. It's more to it. After the death of his brother, he pretty much lost his mind. But
well, I don't think that's the case. However,
it is not always the case because sometimes people change when things are different. And I like the part where you say sometimes they get involved with another person. Oh, that is common, whether it's their children or their best friends or an organization or whatever. And that is big with women. Brothers, I'm going to stand up mm-hmm. for you a little bit. Because you can easily tell when a chick got another man in her life. She disses everybody and everything that she was a part of. I mean, they get their boo thing. They can't call you no more. They too busy to be a part of what they are part of. And you're right. That is big. But I have to admit, I see that more on the women's side. However, I'm sure it happens to the men too. And so we do have to stop that, guys, ladies. We need to make sure we got things prioritized. What's most important? And like I said, from a spiritual perspective, if you got God first, I don't care what you say. If you have God first and you have a relationship with him, you will not neglect your children. Because guess what? There are great men out there who they may not be with that woman anymore, but they will go and help that woman. I know brothers who then went and bought the baby mama a car. I know a guy who baby mother lost her job. Wasn't her fault. They downsized. And she was hanging on using her savings and did not call him. The kids told him. Homeboy told her, oh, I got your house mortgage. Because you know what he said? My kids, that's the mother of my children. She's not going to be on the street. He was married. And him and his wife, she was like, oh, no, we can't have that. He stepped in and help this woman out because that's his children. He didn't hate her, what they had, for whatever reason. It didn't work, but he had an obligation to his children. And because of that, she received a blessing because of their children. So you're right.
Yeah.
We have to prioritize. We have to take accountability. We have to understand that our children are important. And these are the people that we had children with. So today, no matter what the situation was, no matter that you slept with her on the first date and she got pregnant, no matter what she was or he was, I hope if you're listening that today, you got an opportunity for a brand new start for the sake of the gifts that God gave both of you. He gave you gifts, your children. He loaned his children to you so you can raise as your own. If you're listening, please make a change today. Sean, you have any other comments about this?
I don't know if I need to clear it. At the end of the day, it's about putting things into perspective. And y'all hit it on the head for me. And I just say to brothers, you know, me being one, me being a father, I was gonna say at the end of the day, it's about, like y'all said, it's about them kids. And if you put it into perspective like that, it shouldn't be anything, or anyone, or any happening that should stop you from making sure that your kids are good. And if that means helping the mother, help the mother. And I'm not just talking about child support, helping the mother, period. Now, don't be stupid, you know what I mean? But help. At the end of the day, it's the well-being of those kids. So if you put it in perspective, because you're supposed to be a child's first image of God's love, you being that male. So you be that, if you put it into that perspective, then at the end of the day, it all falls into place. You already know what time it is. That's all I got.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. And that is so true. I want to take and read another poem today about fathers. Fatherhood. I love the moments when I engage with my youngest daughter now. It's not my thing to sit on the ground and play tea party, but I'll do it because it's a moment that will stick with me forever. Tim Allen. See, you do things that you normally wouldn't do. You don't want to do it, but it's a moment, he said, it will just stick with him forever. And the thing about it is, it seems to me like kids are growing, so it seems like time is just moving. And, you know, it's an old saying my mother used to always say, time waits on no one. And it seems to me that time is moving swiftly. And even when I think about it, it seemed like it wasn't that long ago when my three children were running around the house and I'm taking them to practice for this and that. And now they're all adults. Even before my son went home to be with the Lord, he was a man. We do not have time to waste on foolishness and pettiness and missing out on opportunities to impact the lives of our own children, of cherishing them and loving them. Time is of the essence. And it's important that as fathers, you take your rightful place. We take this day once a year to celebrate you, as we do once a year to celebrate mothers. And I want to take this time to say to the fathers, you were created to lead. You were created to take care of your family. And no matter what obstacle has got in your way, no matter what has knocked you down, you can rise up again. You can develop that relationship with your children. You can mend the brokenness with that child's mother or those children's mother. There's no such thing that it's impossible. There is a possibility in all of us. And I want to encourage all of the fathers. You are not a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat father. You were created to cherish those children. Take your rightful place. You may have been knocked down. You may have had some setbacks. But I promise you, if you say to yourself that you can, then guess what? You will. So today we have talked about fathers. Despite the odds against fathers, how can we keep them lifted and grounded? I make a promise to you that I will pray for you, that I will encourage you, and that I will lend a supporting hand to any father out there who feels like he just can't get back up again. That is my promise to you. And you have every means of ways to contact me, Facebook, Instagram, or you can call in at 516-595-8103 any Sunday. And I promise you, prayer works. Cece, can you give the fathers a closing remark about how you can keep them lifted and grounded?
It will be the echoing thought that you are an exquisite man of God. It's keeping the forefront the words that I'll be saying, that you're an exquisite man of God. You have to know within yourself and believe it. And when you're spending time with your children, you're making memories that only you can make that last forever. So with me, I echo some of the sentiments that Ms. Worthit says. You know, I'll be praying with you and for you, because I am a true supporter of men and just championing them to their next level in greatness, because they're men of authority.
Thank you. Sean, what can you say to the men, in spite of whatever your situation may be, what can you say to them to assist them to be lifted and grounded?
I say at the end of the day, stop focusing on what's unfair, what's not fair, what is happening, is not happening. At the end of the day, it's about that young one. It's about your legacy. You live for your last name, period. And if you're not leaving anything on this earth, then you live for nothing. So if your child is your legacy. Your child is your part of you that's going to carry on and keep this thing going. You need to dump everything and anything into that child and stop worrying about what is and what ain't and handle your business.
Our guest, Ms. Aisha Hassan, what can you tell the listeners that are fathers that you will do to keep them lifted and grounded?
I will continue to tell our fathers that they are irreplaceable. There is no one like them. There is no one that can take their place, and there's no one that can fill our hearts the way that they do, that they are special, they are unique, and they are wanted. And most of all, that they are loved. And I would remind them that if God is for us, who can be against us? Not the mother of your child, not your family members, not society. It's just you and that child in the end.
Thank you. And so, fathers, there are some of you out there who are fathers who you don't even claim your children because you're not sure if it's yours or not. I encourage you today to find your children. Do not allow your children to be out here roaming in society and you have never made a connection. We've given you some words of encouragement. And Sean Williams has said to you that you need to basically rise up. Stop making excuses. Stop thinking about what's fair and what's not fair. And remember, this is your legacy. As Mufasa told Simba, he had to go on, but he raised Simba to be the next king of the jungle. He prepared him. He taught him. He structured him. He encouraged him so that he can lead. You one day must leave this place, and hopefully your child won't leave before you. However, every opportunity you have, you should instill in them how to be a great man or a great woman. You should teach them and encourage them and protect them. It is your duty that has been given to you to lead. Stop allowing yourself to be behind. You are not created to be left behind. You're created to take the lead and lead your family. And so I hope that as you have listened, or you will listen, to this episode of Miss Worth It Speaks, that you will make a transformation. I hope that you will take everything that has been said and channel it to something positive, a positive way to be the father that you were created and destined to be. I often wonder what life would have been like had I not received the gifts given to me. When I think back prior to February the 12th, 1983, I realized that the joy I had then was not comparable to the joy I had on February 12th, 1983. And then I was so fortunate to have that joy lifted again on January the 1st, 1990. And I thought then that it didn't get any better. God gave me the chosen one, as I called him. And he gave me my princess. But then he brought along on May 30th, 1990, January 1st, 1989 for my princess, and May 30th, 1990, he brought me a king. I often said to their fathers, it was your loss, not mine. And nothing would cause me to not input every part of what God instilled in me into the three gifts he gave me. Nothing would stop me from loving them and teaching them and disciplining them and encouraging them and pushing them to be all that they could be. Nothing. I took pride that God saw enough in me to not give me one, but to give me three. Fathers, if you're listening, you were created before me. But then God took a part of you to create me. How can you not see the gift that God has given you? Whether it be one, two, or three, or some of you been blessed with a multitude, I leave you today hoping and praying and constantly encouraging you that you were created to be great teachers, great priests, great providers, and great protectors. And on today, June 21st, 2015, I plead with you to take your rightful place, because our boys and our girls, they need to know who you are in their life. They need to know why they do what they do. They need to understand where they came from so that they can take steps to get where they're going. I want to thank our co-host, CC Carr, for being with us today. Our special guest, Aisha Hassan, we thank you very much for joining us. We want to thank our callers. This has been Miss Worth It Speaks, and we look forward to you to join us on next week, because it doesn't stop here. We continue on as we spoke about fathers. Next week, we're praying for change one step at a time, that not only our fathers will rise up, but that our mothers will too. Thank you for joining us. Once again, this is Miss Worth It Speaks, and it's been my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Good night.